The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 23rd day of January 2022. And tonight we have our producers, none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening.
And way out yonder, we have the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
There's Joe Larson. Of the kingdom, and forever I am.
All righty. Joe, we have so much to do tonight, we really have to move quick. So, you know what? I was busy here getting ready for the program, and I always stop and I always pray before I go on the air, but tonight I didn't have a chance. So, would you want to lead us in a prayer tonight as we...
I sure would. Dear Heavenly Father, as we normally do before any speech, any sermon, any gathering or radio show, we call upon you. We ask that thy will be done, that the words that we speak and teach and preach be guided and directed by you, that we will be humble servants and that your message will be delivered, that your will be done according to thy precious will. And we just ask you to guide and direct us, as always, Lord, that the word will get out. It'll touch people's hearts, lives, and minds, and bring many to come to you and seek your face. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I wanted to say, right out of the chute, Joe, tomorrow night will be our last night on these stations. Excuse me. In Denver, Colorado, Portland, Oregon, Little Rock, Arkansas, Atlanta, Georgia, Orlando, Florida, and Tampa, Florida. Now, but they can still hear us, Joe, by going to, you can go put an app on your phone. If you've got a smartphone, I always call it smart aleck phone, but if you have one of those, the apps you can put on there is a WHKW 1220, WHKW 1220, WHKW. Or TuneIn, or Odyssey, or iHeart. So you can go to iHeart, you can put these apps on. iHeart on your phone, TuneIn Radio on your phone, Odyssey on your phone, or you can go to the word Cleveland, and that's on the internet. You just go, but now the others, if you can put those apps on your phone, you don't get any of the commercials that you do on the internet.
iHeart is one, too.
Odyssey, and TuneIn. I'm not sure if it's WHKW 1220 or 1220 WHKW. I think it's WHKW 1220. Let me see. Hold on. I'll tell you in just a minute here. Let me see. He had put it... I'm looking at it.
Well, if one doesn't work, try the other one.
Yeah, it's the word 1220. Or you can go to the word 1220, 96.9. The word 1220, 96.9. You can do that if you wanted to, too. So on the internet and So, or that way you won't, on your smartphone, you won't get any commercials. So, anyhow, here's the other thing. For you folks out there that aren't, that don't have a smartphone or aren't on the internet, we've done all that we can do here on our end. Now, there's a few suggestions that you might do. Here's what I've done, Joe. We've set in May 1st as our goal, May 1st, to be back on those stations. That's the day we want to be back on those six stations. Now, you folks out there, we need your help. The first thing I want you to do, if you don't get the newsletter, get the newsletter, okay? Because the newsletter will help you, let you know what's going on, things that you need to know. That's the most important thing, is not that we're on the air as much as it is that we're getting the information to you. Two, you can go. We have a number of churches that support us. You can go, maybe go to your, if you got a Bible believing actual New Testament church, probably in your area there was a number of people listening to us. So you might go to your church and ask, because there's nobody in this country that have broken the stories like we've broken for 50 years. And so we're here because we're not going to compromise. We're not going to do it, okay? The pressure's on. The deep state is putting the pressure on everybody. And they've done that to us, but we don't bend. We're gonna fight and fight with everything we have. And so you might go to your churches or tell your friends, give them our mailing address. Joe, you want to give out the mailing address?
The address is WRWL Ministries, 14781, 14781 Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. Real quick, WRWL, that's all you need. 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065.
And if you didn't get any of that, you can call our office. If you write this phone number down, 440-338-1367, 440-338-1367, and we can give you the information. So anyhow, that'll help you. Our goal, we want to try to get back on. For those folks that don't have access to internet or don't have smartphones, we want to get back on the regular radio in those six cities. But like I said, we're going to need your help. Now, since we've been making a statement, the amount of people that have been sending in from those six stations has more than tripled. And so, but we've got a ways to go. We have a huge bill, but I believe we can do it by May 1st. I believe we can, but we can only do it with your help. And with that, Joe, we need to get right into the message because we have a lot to do tonight. And so let's go to, we want to start out tonight in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. And Joe, the title of the message is 50 years ago to this very day. This was yesterday. Yesterday was 50 years ago yesterday to Roe v. Wade was passed. Wicked, evil men played God. And that was America's darkest day in the history of this country. The very darkest day where child killing has become so prevalent. It's the evil and the wickedness of child killing. And people don't realize that, you know, when God gave us the divine institution of human government, he gave us the 5 points. And the third point, John, or Joe, was the entire purpose of divine human government. The entire purpose was to preserve the image of God. God, that being right. Man. And I'm going to tell you, see, these women who are taking the kill pills, they think nothing of it. Well, I'm going to tell you, some of them are going to die. They're going to die from those pills, and they deserve to die. They deserve to die from those pills. God's word, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But Joe, here, they're going to find out. They're really going to find out, okay, in an extremely rude awakening, what they've done. They transgressed God's dominion. They destroyed the image of God, and they will pay the price. God says they will pay a heavy price for doing that. And so Let's start.
Unless they have repented and turned from their ways and become a born-again believer.
Yep.
That is the only way out of that death sentence.
So, why don't you read James 4, verses 13 through 17.
Go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Absolutely. Now, Joe, tonight, you know, we can say, well, we've got a lot to cover tonight, like I just said. But, Joe, if somebody pulls the plug here on me, we're not going to say anything, because without the power, we're not going to get our program out. But, Joe, these people that say this here, well, one thing, it's good to have goals, but they don't understand, Joe, that they are sustained by God, you see. In other words, they keep forgetting that they're not self-powered. Every electrical impulse going through their body that keeps their heart beating comes from God. God sustains us completely and totally. And you see, when God says, okay, today your soul is required of you, it doesn't matter if you decide to go or not, right? That's not your call. You're going.
Right.
You're going.
It doesn't matter if you believe in God or don't believe in God. You're going.
And so here, what he's telling you here is that you'll do exactly what God allows you to do. And is again, when people make that call, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, without saying, the Lord's willing, without understanding. Every service we have, after the service, we take a good portion of time, and I ask people out there for words of praise. You know, everybody, I tell them, okay, who's got something to praise, a word of praise for the Lord? And I push them. If I don't have hands going up, I'll ask them, how many people have a home to go to today?
Mm-hmm.
They raise their hand. I'll say, well, then that's a word of praise. You haven't praised God that you have a home, when a lot of people don't? Or I'll tell them, how many people are going to have something to eat today? Okay, it's by God's grace that you have something to eat. It's by God's grace. A lot of people in the world aren't going to have anything to eat today, you see.
Not enough, yeah.
Right. And so,
clean water to drink or a place to stay warm and dry.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy, especially right here. I don't know what it's like where you're at there, but I'm going to tell you, things got awful white, awful quick yesterday. We had some very inclement weather here. And I had to cancel.
Tomorrow.
In 50 years, I think I've canceled less than a dozen services. I know it's been less than a dozen. And last night we had to cancel the evening service because the road got so bad out here all of a sudden, and there was cars going off the road. And so I thought, well, you know, this is not good. I'm not going to have many people coming out in this weather anyhow, but the ones that do come out could be endangered. So, you know, we canceled the evening service last night. Like I said, in 50 years, I think it's been maybe less than a dozen times we've had to cancel service. Usually, we had, because of floods, we had several floods where the roads were covered with water. But anyhow, so here, when he goes on to say, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanishes away. Joe, it's an amazing thing. I was just going through my phone book upstairs today. And as I'm going through the phone book, I was amazed at how many people whose names are in my phone book, but they're not here anymore. They've gone. They've passed away.
Yeah, I had that happen a couple of weeks ago when I was going through some stuff, and how many were crossed off that we've had funerals in the past, especially a couple of years.
Yeah, well, in 2022, you know, I did 9 funerals. Normally, my normal amount is about 2 or 3. In a year. I did 9 in 2022. And so, yeah, you're right. And you know, the other thing, Joe, is like when I first started out in radio, all of those people that were there in those days at the same time, about a dozen people that I knew with radio programs, they're all gone. They're all gone. I'm the only one left. And it's just an amazing thing how fast this life goes, and everything is speeding up. Everything is going so quickly. And so now here, what we're talking about when he says this, for that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boasting, and all such boasting is evil. In other words, without saying, without giving the Lord his due credit for the blessings, you know, how would, you know, just think about yourselves. How would you like it if you helped somebody, you trained somebody to do something, or you showed them how to do something and they were very successful and they were talking about how great a job they've done and bragging and never mentioned the fact that you helped them out. You would be a little bit, upset about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you could say miffed, yes. But,
okay. Well, think about this with God, how God sustains us, how he's blessed us in such abundance. And this is what he's telling them there. Now, here's the other thing, Joe. A lot of times we can feel overwhelmed, can't we? Do you ever get to the point where you just feel like it's overwhelmed? You're surrounded with wickedness. You got Planned Parenthood over here, Southern Poverty Law Firm over here, the ACLU over here, the WHO over here, Planned Parenthood over here, the mainstream media over here, the entire Democratic Party. So it's you're overwhelmed by the Antichrist world system. You're surrounded. But then you remember what the Lord said, that he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world.
World, amen.
And we are more than conquerors in Christ. And one can chase 1,000 and 2, 10,000. And so then you remember there too when he says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and do it not, it's sin. Now, to do good, this is where, Joe, this is where the pulpit has failed so miserably, because America's national sin is abortion, sin of child killing. And our children have paid a horrible price because the pulpit was so weak. The pulpit was so weak. And
The nation has.
Yeah. And so there, yeah, this nation is, well, I'm going to tell you again, killing the children is America's national sin. But we've been fighting it from day one. We have not stopped. We've been fighting it from day one. And that brings me, Joe, to this. America was once a great nation because she was a good nation. The founding fathers were men whose love for God, family, country, freedom, and truth far outweighed what they knew would be the cost laid upon them and their families and their struggle for independence and freedom. Their wives, you know, behind every good man was a good woman, Joe, out there in those days. And their wives were ladies. And that term is thrown around today. It's often referred to as some of the most vulgar females that exist are often called ladies when they're not ladies by any. And what that does, it's an insult to real ladies. But their wives were ladies. They were chaste. They were decent. And they were proper, Joe. They feared God, and they were obedient to their husbands, and they raised their children in the admonition of the Lord. And in those days, divorce was so very rare, it was hardly ever heard of. And here, today, when a woman is obedient to her husband, she's set upon, she's slurred by the feminist out there today. And so when it comes to the pastors, back in those days, in the days of the founding fathers, those pastors, the ones that led the war for independence, they were as bold as lions. And Joe, turn to Proverbs 28.
Can I, and, two things before we turn, I wanted to remember, when we pray, even when we pray for those who are sick, we always pray that God would heal if it be his will, because we do not know God's will. So going along with this, you know, what the Lord wants, it's always his will. And you're right, the scripture talks more on that last verse. Jesus preached more on the sins of omission than commission. So when he says here, he that knoweth to do good and doesn't do it, that is sin. That's one of the greater sins, the sin of omission.
And in Matthew chapter 25, he tells you, especially when you fail to feed the hungry, clothe the naked, house the homeless, visit those in prison, visit those that are sick. That is the sin of omission. So let me ask you this. When you're in obedience to the Lord and you place up crowns and glory, so when you go out and you go out to the bloody killing centers, and I want to dedicate the program to those pro-lifers that are out there on those streets for 12 months out of the year. And I know 45 years, I spent for 45 years out in the cold winters. I spent out there preaching in front of those bloody abortion mills. And I want to dedicate the radio program to those people, those pro-lifers that are out there placing up crowns in heaven. But Joe, when you place those crowns in heaven and then you fail to do the other things, when you fail to feed the hungry, house the homeless, clothe the naked, those crowns that you placed up, you'll start to lose. And so I know everybody can't do everything, but we can all do something, can't we?
Something. And the big key to that is God asked his church to do those things. And what mankind has done is relegated it to the government to do the things that he asked his church and the followers to do. And that was one of our big national sins, is that happened. We just turned all that, the government will take care of all those things.
Well, true, but on the other case, too, for many who, you know, there are people, and I know them, and I know some very well, who, when it comes to activism and doing things, especially, they just pretend. It's like, if I close my eyes and I pretend it's not there, it'll go away. It'll go away. And when it says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves, And that's when, you know, when people have a conscience, when they feel, you know I should be doing something. I know I should be. But they start giving excuses to themselves why they're not going to do it. Again, that's where the part deceiving your own selves comes in. So when we talked about the founding fathers and those pastors, Joe, they feared God more than man or government. And the churches were full of God-fearing families. On Sunday mornings, if a woman was to go in those days, Joe, to go against the word of God and proclaim herself to be an ordained pastor of a church, she would be laughed to scorn, or maybe even committed, because God's word, the Bible, is very specific about women being pastors. But today, they're ordaining women, especially United Church of the Antichrist. And
they're, well, not just women, but women who are lesbians. In several cases, we've seen married lesbians co-pastoring churches. So they're doubling down on their sin.
Yeah, and almost as far as the ones, I don't know if, I only know of one who is a professing pastor. I only know of one that's not a lesbian. All the others I know of, all of them, are lesbians. But hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
On a cold winter's morning, on a sidewalk in the city, a lost soul approached me as the snow was getting deep. I could see the look of death. It was there in her eyes now as I began to preach. She began to speak. She said,
"Preacher, I'll admit it. I've come to kill my baby. The whole world is telling me that I have that right. But deep down inside me, I believe what you're preaching. Children are a gift of God. We've gotta give them life."
So I put my arm around her and I gave her the gospel. It was right there in the darkness that she could see the light. Two souls were saved there, both her and her baby. If you're called to do the Lord's work, you had better learn to do it right. You've got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. There's no way to run. You better count your blessings.
Please Him while you're able.
He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. Now every preacher knows the rock of his salvation. I'll separate the goats from all the sheep. All men are sinners. They all need a Savior. He's the only one to trust in. It's your soul that he'll keep. And when I finish preaching,
the woman was a believer. A baby in her womb I knew she would keep. And now 25 years later, her baby is a young preacher. She's so very proud of the baby that she decided to keep. You got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. There's no way to run. You better count your blessings. Please Him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the Son. You got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try to walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and do it while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's God the Son. You got to know how to please Him, not just to please Him. Don't try and walk away. There's nowhere to run. You better count your blessings and please Him while you're able. He's the keeper of your soul now. He's got the soul.
Amen. And Craig, there's going to be a call coming in just from a lady, Nancy. Now, the phone lines are not open except for this woman here. She has a message she wants to get out. It's an emergency message. So if she calls, take her call and put her in. Okay, so there you go. Okay, go ahead, bring Nancy up. Okay, Nancy, are you up?
Oh, yes.
Okay, you're in the air now, so go ahead and give your announcement
wonderful.
There.
Wonderful, thank you so much. I am requesting courtroom observers for Wednesday the 25th at 9 a.m. This is, I'm not sure the name of the court, but it's at 1300 Ontario Street, and this is for a very good friend and good Christian friend, Jonah Locke, L as in Larry, O-C-K-E, to stand up for him because he's being falsely accused of some kind of like a sexual pervert crime. This has been hanging on for 2 years. They keep postponing it. But anyhow, he's going before Judge Shirley Strickland, STRICKLAND, Saffold. S is in Sam, AFFOLD. He is in courtroom 21B. So if your listeners could help us out,
that should be about. Is that at 9 a.m.?
9 a.m. Thank you. Thank you for questioning that. Yeah.
Alrighty. Very good. Now give that all over one more time, and then tomorrow, do it again, and that way.
Oh, okay.
Because you'll have more people will hear it tomorrow. So, in the Cleveland area, this will be what you just said will be heard four times tomorrow.
Oh, wonderful!
So go ahead and give that again.
Yes, this is for Wednesday, January 25th at 9 a.m. I think it's Common Pleas Court, but I do know that the address is 1300 Ontario Street, downtown Cleveland. And this will be in courtroom 21B, as in boy, and under Judge Shirley Strickland, STRICKLAND, Saffold. S as in Sam, AFFOLD. So if people could come to support Jonah Lopp, L as in Larry, O-C-K-E, this would be very much appreciated. He's being falsely accused of something like being a sexual pervert or something like that. But he's totally innocent. He's one of the most godly men I've ever known. He's humble. He serves Jesus Christ all the time. So,
all right, let me tell the folks why it's very important to have courtroom observers, folks. In the past, we've had courtroom observers. We had like a seven-county area here in Ohio where when people are falsely accused or they just request for courtroom observers, we've had several cases literally thrown out of court because they didn't know, the courts did not know who all the people were there. And they couldn't do business as usual because they didn't know if somebody was in there from the Ohio Attorney General's office or where to watch what was going on. And one case we had the judge take off his black robe and step down and just walk away. He wasn't sure. Another case standing outside a judge's office, we actually heard him talking to the court in Columbus saying, "I can't do it. I don't know who these people are." And that guy from Cleveland is up here, that radio guy, meaning me, is up here from Cleveland. Okay, so, and they simply just shut the cases down. So it's very important. Now, what we're telling you, just to be a courtroom observer, you just want to go in and listen, listen to what's happening and form your own opinion. We're not telling you to disrupt the court or anything like that. But I've seen case after case, and just because people are there, and if they know that there's a lot of eyes watching them, the person is much more apt to get justice. So go ahead, and Nancy, call that in again tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Pastor Sanders. You are truly a doer of the word and a man of God, and I appreciate you so much. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Nancy, and thanks for being a good friend to him.
All right. Oh, absolutely. Yes. Okay. God bless.
God bless. All right. Very good. Joe, we got a number of things tonight. First of all, did you know, Joe, that the woke doctors say that human beings are no more valuable than animals? Do you think God agrees with that?
I don't think God's going to agree with that one bit.
More valuable than animals. Do you think God agrees with that?
Joe, somebody, Nancy, are you still there? You got your radio on.
Yes, I am. Uh-huh.
Alrighty. Okay, yeah.
Turn the radio.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to turn that radio off. Alrighty.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, anyhow, thank you so much for your help, Pastor Sanders. I really appreciate it. And I'm very aware of the benefit of, courtroom observers. As I've listened to your show for many years, so thank you.
Thank you. God bless, and I'll hear from you tomorrow. All righty. Good night. Now, Joe, did you know that God said man was made in his image? And he didn't make animals in his image, did he?
No, he sure didn't.
Now,
not according to his word in the book of Genesis. I was just looking through it. God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over what? Fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then it goes on in Genesis 1, and verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given everything green herb for meat. And so he laid out clearly what his order was. Man was to have dominion over it all.
All righty, very good. So now, did he give man dominion over man?
He has dominion over man.
That's exactly right. And that's where you get the statue of the death penalty, huh? Those that destroy the image of God have to forfeit.
Yes.
And so here, when we take a look at this, individuals within the scientific community have taken a decidedly woke worldview for years for encouraging obesity to discriminating against white individuals. The Lancet becomes the latest entrant into the crusade by repeating PETA talking points and declaring them science. These people are not scientists. These people are fools. They're absolute, complete, total fools, aren't they?
Yes, they are. But the big thing here is this is supposed to be a organization, the Lancet, that is a medical journal dealing with medical things, dealing with human beings. And what is happening here, they are going totally woke. And they're no longer looking at science or looking at wokeism. And the idea they've been setting up this new campaign, and it's called One Health. And it's a revolutionary idea, and it totally goes against foundational Christianity and our understanding of the world according to God. And it is coming together to be totally anti-Christ. It's the idea of a equity, all life is equal. Notice they say this. The consequences of this thinking, it's revolutionary, it's a shift where all life is equal and of equal concern. That puts a total change on everything. That is a revolution, isn't it?
Well, that's the hypocrisy, because these very same people that are saying that are saying that it's all right to take the life of an unborn child or a born child now. And they're the very same people, too, that promote euthanasia.
Kill the old, kill the young, but
animals, their lives are not equal, okay? So here, the once prestigious UK Lancet Medical Journal urges a revolutionary shift of perspective away from human-centered health care in favor of ecologically equity, attributing equal value to all life. Now, again, in its advocacy for One Health, the Lancet proposes an integrated, unifying approach that aims to sustainably balance and optimize the health of people, animals, and ecosystems, asserting that the health of humans, domestic and wild animal and plants, and the wider environment, including ecosystems, are closely linked and they're interdependent. Well, these people, first of all, are absolute fools. They're absolute fools. These are the very same people that says there is no God. Okay, here, they go on to say that
it takes a step further. It goes on and says it's part of a four-part series. One Health goes way beyond emerging infections and pathogens. Quote, it is the foundation for understanding and addressing the most existential threat to societies, including antimicrobial resistance, food and nutrition insecurity, and climate change. Those are now the most existential threats to humanity.
All righty. Well, it's an interesting... it's amazing.
Did you ever think you would hear one of the world's top medical journals talking about climate change?
Well, you've watched Harvard, you've watched Yale, you've seen them, you know. Again, it used to be you could be as dumb as you wanted to be on the cheap. It didn't cost you anything. Now, to be as dumb as you can really be, you've got to spend mega bucks, and you've got to go to Harvard or Yale.
$60,000 a year or more to go to these colleges and universities to learn that you are no more important than a dog, a cat, or a rat.
Yeah, so...
And the global warming is the world's greatest existential threat.
You can become what you call a woke-a-dope. That's what the terminology is woke-a-dope. And so whenever you use that term woke, always use the term dope with woke.
Dope, because, was it? Dope or insanity.
Yeah.
Woke insanity goes well, too.
Well, woke-a-dope is more... it's easier. And you can actually get the opposition to maybe start... They might start thinking about that might be a good thing, because... They don't. They think being stupid is good, but there's no place. Is there any place in the Beatitudes where it says, "Blessed are the stupid"?
No, we kind of looked all through the Bible, not just the Beatitudes, and it's not there.
Okay, so now these people, like what they're trying to do, what they did in Portland and Seattle, and now they're trying to pass legislation in Minnesota to put Tampax machines in boys' bathrooms. Now, that's really a dope, okay? See, that's a dopey thing to do by dopey people, okay? But to them, being dopey is good. In other words, up is down is up, yesterday is tomorrow, and vice versa. This is where you get the snowflakes. And remember, everything that these people do is totally in opposition, contrary to what the Word of God teaches. And so God is not the author of confusion, but we know who is, don't we?
Yes, we do. His name is Satan.
And so there you go. It's a, you know, it's an interesting thing, because these people, you know, certain things only work for them. Like if you feel that you're a woman, well, then you're a woman, and or if you feel that you're a man, you're having one of those days where if you're feeling that if you're a man and you're having a day where you're feeling like a woman to make access to women's bathrooms or women's showers, then that's all right. In some places that's legal. And I think we got some articles on some school districts. People are pulling their daughters out of the schools because they don't want these boys walking in on the shower. But see, so the mindset...
Being raped by the boy that walks in the shower. We've already seen that story, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, some years ago, there were three boys raped a girl, and was in New York city, and they weren't charged because they used condoms. And so,
weren't charged.
Right.
Now,
you see, this
Lord.
Is... Right, see, but this is lunacy... And the left is lunatics. So now what if you could take that mindset, and if you use that kind of reasoning, okay, then we can be whatever we feel like we are, right? And then maybe I can feel like I'm the president of the United States. We know Joe Biden's not, right?
No, he doesn't have the mental capacity. Somebody's pulling the puppet strings.
Well, I heard him say himself, Kamala Harris was the president.
Mm-hmm.
He referred to her President Kamala, so he got a little confused there, didn't he?
He gets extremely confused. I don't even want to go there. I've got a stack of stuff that take us all night on just Biden's confusions, and I think if somebody hasn't figured it out by now, it's a little late.
All right, I want to move on to, very quickly, I wanted to give this, that last week when I was over there with Paul Schiffer and the Schiffer Report, he did a good article on Roger Stone. Roger Stone has written an article, and that is that Nixon threatened to reveal the CIA's involvement in the Kennedy assassination. Now, we've all known for years, that the CIA was involved in the Kennedy assassination. In fact, we had, I believe both he and I did have Mrs. Brown, who was Johnson's, mistress, was Johnson's mistress, and she came right out and gave her testimony how she heard him as he stepped out of the, opened the doors and stepped out, and Daddy Bush was with him and made the statement that after tomorrow, the day before the assassination, Kennedy, and he used the word, I can use it because it's in the Bible, bastards, will never bother me again or never trouble me again. He used something to that extent. So we all know that the CIA was involved in that, but now Roger Stone writes this article. It says this: a stunning long-overlooked Nixon Watergate era tape shows Richard Nixon warning CIA director Richard Helms that he knows of CIA involvement in the murder of John F. Kennedy. I know who shot John, Nixon says. The shocking new tape depicts Nixon increasingly besieged by Watergate, but unaware that at least four of the Watergate burglars were still on the CIA payroll at the time of the break-in, and that the CIA thus infiltrated the burglary team. Recently, declassified documents reveal that Watergate special prosecutor Nick Ackerman was aware of both the CIA's advanced knowledge and involvement in the break-in, but he said and did nothing. Senator Howard Baker, the Republican leader on the Senate's Watergate Committee, and his counsel Fred Thompson, himself a future U.S. Senator from Tennessee, like Baker, stumbled on the CIA's deep advanced knowledge and direct involvement in the Watergate break-in. Baker and Thompson both knew that at least four of the Watergate burglars were on the CIA payroll at the time of the break-in, and through CREEP security director James McCord had infiltrated the burglary team. And I'll just stop right there.
There was so much more to the story than the truth that ever got out to the people, right?
Yeah, but we knew it. I mean, we had bits and pieces, but we knew that the CIA was behind the whole thing. Now, remember, Kennedy wanted to get rid of the CIA. Remember, that was part of his.
Mm-hmm.
And Ronald Reagan wanted to get rid of the CIA.
Get rid of it, too.
And guess who else? Donald Trump wanted to get rid of the CIA.
I wonder why. Hey, the FBI is right in there. There's another headline that kind of goes with it, puts a spin today. A lot of our listeners probably don't remember Watergate and Nixon like we do, but they do know about Trump and the Russia collusion. Headlines out of Fox News: retired top FBI counterintelligent agent who led the Trump-Russia probe, Russia, has been arrested for his own ties to a Russian oligarch. Yep, Charles McGonigal, the former special agent in charge of the FBI's counterintelligence division in New York, retired in 2018, is accused of violating U.S. sanctions by agreeing to provide services to Oleg Deripaska, a sanctioned Russian oligarch. And there's a long story, but there's a 5-count indictment was unsealed in Manhattan court, and there was another person with him arrested.
Yeah, Sergei Shesterkin.
One of those people that was pushing the Russia collusion story with Trump, lying to the American people. Turned out, who was the collusion? Who was the one who was in collusion? The FBI agent that was telling the government that it was.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Comey was the one to put him there. No. Let me ask you this. If this guy, now this Charles McGonigal, he knows the way the system works. Now, if Jim Jordan and some of those guys from the, get a hold of this, apparently they have this information now, then this guy, He's up, McGonigal, Charles McGonigal, he's up for a deal. He can go and say, look, okay, I'm ready to roll over on Comey. I'm ready, I can roll over on Hillary Clinton and all of these people because they were all part of this. Is all Hillary was behind. She was paying for this false thing. Now, if he does that, if he rolls over on that, and now we know the Justice Department is going to do everything they can to silence this guy. They don't want him talking. But if Congress, he gets the head of the committee, and Congress cuts a deal with him, and the Senate, by chance, should cut a deal with him, then, boy, a bunch of the rats are going to go down. The bunch of the dirty cops are going down, aren't they?
Oh, would that be wonderful. Start to see the end of it fall like dominoes, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they would be going down.
As Comey goes, then it starts down, Brennan, Clapp, and all the others start falling. This could be an interesting, wonderful year if certain things happen. And God willing, remember our Bible study, God willing, he can bring the House of Cards down. We can't, but he can.
Absolutely.
If God chooses, and this could be a ways, the means of how he works things.
Here's another good article. Former top Intel official Douglas Wise admits knowing Hunter Biden's laptop was real, but lied anyway and signed on to a bogus Intel letter. And there's a whole list of these
50
dirty cops.
Intelligence agents.
Yeah, yeah, well, they were still called
intelligent,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, well, they were called dirty cops. That's what you call.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me just read a little bit here. In October 2020, just days before the presidential election, 51 former intelligence officials signed and published a letter that basically just decried the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop from hell. All the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. This was a lie, and they all knew it was a lie. And so all 50 of these, they did this, they lied under oath. And what they need to be in that dirty, dirty, filthy D.C. jail where the real American patriots are being held right now by dirty cops in that dirty D.C. jail. And we're going to press Congress to do it. And
it's unconstitutional. They've been kept without proper constitutional procedures. They were deprived of their rights. This should have been taken to the Supreme Court already. I don't know why it hasn't been.
Joe, we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to be listening to a clip, and it's very important in this clip that folks, it's going to be Todd Callender and Dr. Lee Veit. And we're going to play the first part of this tonight, about 20 minutes of it. And so you listen very careful, and then when we come back, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to call your congressmen and senators, your U.S. congressmen and senators, and then your state congressmen and state legislators and senators, and ask them, just tell them, we want our state to pass the same legislation that Governor DeSantis is passing in Florida. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this. Don't go away. More to come. A whole lot more to come.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.